Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it's about that time. It is your favorite part of the day. 1 p.m. here on a Thursday, August 29th, 2019, better known as Michigan State Football Eve.
You like
That's
that?
Right. Yeah.
You like that?
Well, we like that a lot, Kirk. We like that a lot. You guys have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And now we are just a day away from the start of Michigan State football tomorrow night, Michigan State and Tulsa. I mean, you can really feel it now. When it's like a day away, I mean, we are a little more than 24 hours away from the start of the football season. Oh, you know, I love it because I always think to all of the years I've been covering Michigan State football now and just the routine I get in and how exciting it is. You know, I am so blessed. I love my job. You know, just to pack up the equipment with my interns, and we make that walk from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences just down the road to Spartan Stadium. And on that walk, you see tailgaters outside. You smell hot dogs and beer, and it's just great. There's a buzz. There's a buzz that takes place. And for it to be a Friday night, you know, Michigan State football opening up the college football season again on a Friday night under the lights at Spartan Stadium. You know, the anticipation throughout the day is awesome. It really is. Because this time tomorrow, I'll be prepping live here on the air, letting you guys know what I think is going to happen tomorrow night. And then after that, you know, we'll be packing up the gear and getting ready and making that walk. That walk is awesome. And I love walking down and seeing the fans and listening to the music blare. And then as you get closer to the stadium, you start to see so many students and fans get ready and get their tickets ready. And they're in line getting ready to go through the turnstile. It's awesome stuff. So today, we're going to continue to preview Michigan State and Tulsa. I'm going to dive a little bit more into the X's and the O's and give you my big things to watch when it comes to that game. I also want to talk about a topic that I did bring up during yesterday's show, but because it was so jam-packed, you know, we rolled in our very own Scott Poles sit-down, a portion of that sit-down that he had with new Michigan State University president Samuel L. Stanley Jr. as he talked about athletics and where he sees the state of athletics at Michigan State right now. And we also had the great Anthony Iani, former Michigan State men's basketball player, now national renowned motivational speaker. He was also on the hour. So I didn't get a chance to tackle a really intriguing piece from the Los Angeles Times entitled "Participation in High School Sports Declines Nationally for the First Time in 30 years. I'll give you my thoughts on why we are seeing this unfortunate trend of high school sports participation numbers declining. All right, you don't want to miss that. And then on the back end of the show, we're going to dive into Throwback Thursday.
as we do each and every Thursday here on Current Sports, as we take a look at some sports history, what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history for this Thursday. All right? We'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all beautiful people to be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. I want to hear from you guys. For those who may have tickets to tomorrow night's game, where is your excitement level? What are you hoping to see from your Spartans tomorrow against Tulsa? Right now, looking at Vegas lines, looks as though everybody, just about every sports book, has Michigan State as a 23-point favorite in this game. 23 points. I like that. Over-under is at 47.5. But we all know. We all know. I mean, Michigan State loves more than... They really love. They really love to do this, right? They love to make the opening game a little tighter than they really should. They love playing with your emotions in that opening game. So, I don't know. I would probably take Tulsa. I would still take the points here and go with Tulsa. That's probably where I'm leaning right now.
What?
Yeah. Look what happened last year. A 7-point win against Utah State. This is what Michigan State does, man. I don't know. If I was a betting man, I would take Tulsa with the points. I can see Michigan State winning by 17 here. 23, anything over the 20s, I'm like, I don't know. Michigan State doesn't blow out teams by like 20 points. So that's where I'm leaning a bit here. What say you? Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and weigh in below the live stream there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. We've got Alec Rio, the man behind the glass, on this Thursday, August 2-9. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, I also want to note, folks, that yes, this is the opening week for Michigan State football, but this is also the opening week. Actually, tonight is the opening day of high school football here in this great state of Michigan. Gotta love that, right? High school football, nothing like it. You know, now I wish, I have to get this off my chest, I wish that, you know, when it comes to high school football, I wish that they maybe would bump it up a week, or maybe college football would fall back a week. I mean, the fact that they both happen on the same week, because I'm pretty sure, I mean, some of you that will be at tomorrow night's Michigan State football game would also like to be at some opening night high school football games here in the local area as well. So the fact that it falls on the same week, I'm like, You know, but, you know, what's kind of cool about it, though, is that you have Thursday night openers and Friday night openers, kind of like college football as well. There's some college football on tonight as well. So I do want to highlight two local games, probably the two biggest games when it comes to tonight's slate of opening night high school football here in the local area. You've got Pawamo Westphalia taking on Reading. That game will take place at Olivet College. And also tonight, you can check out Lansing Eastern playing host to Owosso at Eastern's brand new high school football facility. How cool is that? You know, I've seen pictures and, you know, it looks to be state of the art. You know, they've been working on it for a long, long time. And congratulations to the Quakers. Congratulations to that school for now having a new turf field. So those are two of the biggest games for tonight, this Thursday. But I also want to note that you can also catch Claire at Alma at 7 p.m. Mount Morris at Bath, 7 p.m. Saranac at Bill City. That's also at 7 p.m. I believe all these games are at 7 p.m. Williamston at Byron. Fowler at Carson City Crystal. Fowlerville at Charlotte. Hemlock at Corunna. Jackson Northwest at Eaton Rapids. Grand Rapids North Point Christian at Fulton. Hudsonville at Grand Ledge. Stockbridge at Grass Lake. Caledonia at Holt. Wyoming at Kellogg'sville at Ionia. Hudson at Ithaca. Owosso, as I mentioned, at Eastern, 7 p.m. Sparta at Everett. Lansing Catholic at Waverly. That should be a fun local matchup. Dansville at Leslie. Mason at Okemos. Sexton at Olivet. Langsburg at Perry. As I mentioned, also Reading at Pomona, Westphalia. Ovid Elsie at Portland. Muskegon Heights Academy at Powderville. East Lansing at St. John's. DeWitt at Traverse City Central. All of those schools opening up high school football tonight. And also in eight-man football, Deckerville at Ashley, Morris at Kingston, and Vesterburg at Weberville. So everything kicking off at 7 p.m. Those are your opening night Thursday high school football games. Exciting stuff there. All right. The annual Crosstown Showdown Fall Fan Fest, an exhibition between the Lansing Lugnuts and the Michigan State baseball team, will be played next week, Tuesday, September 3rd, 7:05 p.m., of course, inside of Cooley Law School Stadium. Now, gates open at 5 p.m. before the Home Run Derby gets underway at 5:30 p.m. The Spartans and the Luggies will then play a seven-inning game starting at 7:05. Sparty, MSU's beloved mascot, along with the MSU Spirit Squad and Zeke, the Wonder Dog, will all be in attendance as well. And I want to note this. The first 2,000 fans in attendance will receive a commemorative baseball cap featuring both the Lugnut and Michigan State logos. All right, Jake Butt will have, quote, minor scope done on his left knee. The Denver Broncos tight end announced on social media yesterday, former Michigan football star. This is what Butt wrote on his Twitter page, quote, going into my junior year at Michigan, I had a similar scope procedure done roughly 10 months after my first ACL surgery. I then went on to play some of the best football of my career in the 2 years following, end quote. Butt tore an ACL for the third time in his football career last season after months of rehab. The tight end was back on the field for a preseason game last week, only to be left with soreness after a limited action. Now, Butt believes this procedure will help him get back on the field in 2019. We will just have to wait and see. Also, some news concerning three former University of Michigan football players. While Jim Harbaugh and Michigan continue to be the subject of public scrutiny when it comes to transfers, three former Wolverines have been granted immediate eligibility by the NCAA this fall. Wide receiver Oliver Martin, defensive back Miles Sims, and defensive lineman Aubrey Solomon, all transfers from Michigan in recent months, had their respective transfer waiver applications approved this week. Now, Martin and Sims' approvals were announced Wednesday. Solomon's approval was granted on Tuesday. All right, and this news comes just over a week after Sims' mother, Katrina, appeared to blame Michigan for his denied transfer waiver request at Georgia Tech. She also told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, quote, the disappointment is knowing that Michigan included just a few words outside of what we said to mislead the NCAA in their decision-making. Now, Katrina Sims' comments followed that of Cincinnati head coach Luke Fickell, who earlier this month blamed Harbaugh for not doing more to help offensive lineman James Hudson, also a former Wolverine Michigan transfer, in his quest for a transfer waiver. We covered that story and debated that extensively 2 weeks ago. So, who's the toughest coach when it comes to preparing to go against in college basketball? Well, according to his peers, it's your head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Mr. Tom Izzo.
Shazam.
Shazam, Izzo. CBS Sports ran its candid coaches article yet again, and the peers of Izzo are raving about his preparation and his unpredictability. Izzo came away with 16% of the vote, more than any other coach in the poll. Virginia's Tony Bennett was just behind him at 14%, followed by Chris Beard of Texas Tech at 11%. As we all know, Izzo has made 8 Final Fours. He's won a national title back in 2000. And it's because he's always switching things up and making life difficult for opposing coaches that makes him that much more dangerous during tourney time when teams only have a few days to prepare. So Izzo has got it down to a science, and his track record speaks for itself, coming off another year in which Michigan State booked a ticket to the Final Four this past season. Of course, the loss to Texas Tech out in Minnesota, but what a ride it was. What a ride it was. All right, with college football kicking off and the Detroit Lions expected to rest the majority of their starters, there's seemingly little reason to turn, well, I should say to tune, into the team's fourth and final preseason game against the Cleveland Browns tonight. But if you are a diehard, I guess you'll be watching the hometown favorite play their last preseason game, putting it all on the line to make a roster spot. You know, that's kind of the intriguing thing about this. The fourth preseason game, you're going to see guys out there who are in desperation mode trying to make that 53-man roster. The deadline coming, I believe, in the afternoon on Saturday. So emotions will be high for some players, and by next week, some dreams will continue, and most will end being cut by the team. All right, and some news concerning Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt will have to spend his NFL suspension isolated from his team. The suspended Browns running back, who must serve an 8-game ban for physical altercations, will not be permitted inside the team's facility starting Saturday at 4 p.m. That's when the deadline to cut from whatever amount of players you have on your roster down to 53 actually begins. League spokesman Brian McCarthy said that yesterday in an email to the Associated Press concerning Kareem Hunt. Now, the team had asked Commish Roger Goodell to allow Hunt to be around his teammates, arguing he could use the extra support, but to this point, Hunt will not be able to interact with his teammates or staff inside the team's building in Ohio until his punishment ends in November. Now, it's not impossible that the league could adjust its policy and amend its stance on Hunt, who was signed as a free agent by Cleveland back in March, 3 months after being released by the Kansas City Chiefs, but to this point, he's going to be on his own. And an update when it comes to the U.S. Open. This was not easy for Serena Williams, but she did get the job done in 3 sets, defeating 17-year-old Katie McNally, making her now 55-3 against teenagers. Williams avoided what would have been her earliest loss in 19 appearances at the U.S. Open. She came back again for being a set down in the second round. That set went to McNally. That first set went to McNally 7-5 at Flushing Meadows, and eventually beat McNally again 7-5, 6-3, 6-1 in a match that ended as Wednesday turned into Thursday, so late last night. Also want to note that Novak Djokovic got the job done against Juan Ignacio Landero. So he moves on. And tonight, you can catch Rafael Nadal as he takes on Thanisi Kokkinakis. I probably butchered that name, but hey.
It's Greek. That's hard to pronounce.
That's tough, man. I tried my best there. So Nadal and Kokkinakis. Probably Kokkinakis. That's what it looks like. All right. Nadal and Kokkinakis tonight at 8:15 p.m. in the second round of the U.S. Open. Yeah, all the big dogs still in contention. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
right. It is Thursday. What's up, beautiful people? You know, shout out to everybody out there listening. Shout out to everybody watching on Facebook right now at facebook.com/WKAR News. I see you, Chris. What's up, Ben, Alex, Aaron? Thank you guys so much. And even, yo, my high school basketball teammate, Mark Adams, is even tuned in. We got everybody tuned in at Facebook. Mark, I used to give you buckets. Remember that, baby? Al Jordan. What's up? What's up? It's Thursday. It is Thursday, and I can't wait. I can't wait. You know, the first game of the season for Michigan State football is always a special one because, you know, just like any first game of any season, it gives you hope. It breeds hope. It breeds possibilities. You know, before that game, everybody's record is donut and donut. 0-0. And that's a feel-good thing. You know, you forget about what happened in the past, and the slate is clean. And just the atmosphere here on campus, yeah, is it a bit annoying, though? You know, when you're driving and there's traffic everywhere. And
I'm doing deliveries for Jimmy John's, so just imagine that.
You're doing deliveries for you're not going to be, you guys are speedy fast. I don't know about tomorrow.
Yeah, no, we're not going to be freaky fast any day of the week when the student's on campus.
Yeah, that's what it is, freaky fast. That's what it is. Yeah, that's Alex's day job. So, but isn't it fun, though, Alec? You know, and I got a question for all of the college football fans just across the board out there. You know, I want to ask this question. You know, when you're at a tailgate, because tailgating is pretty big here in East Lansing, you know, what are your three must-haves at a tailgate? I want to ask that to the fans out there, to the listeners out there. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What are your must-haves for your respective tailgate? For me, Alec, whenever I do get the rare opportunity to indulge in a tailgate or two or three, well, I don't get the three, maybe two. I didn't have to go to work, right? So I don't partake in sipping the soda.
The extracurricular activities that are involved.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So for me, though, you got to have a good soda. All right, you got to have a good pop, okay? A good soda. After that, you got to have a football. You know, I like tossing around the pigskin while I'm just, you know, kicking it with the homies and those who I'm tailgating with. And number three, that's if I'm staying for the entire tailgate. This is a new one that I added to my list. You got to have a television, man. You got to have, because isn't it horrible? Like, people like to tailgate while the game is going on, but it's like, hold on. You know, if you don't have a television, I mean, that's why you tailgate. You're tailgating for the game. I need to be able to see the game while I'm out there tailgating.
I've seen some setups of, like, in, like, their trailers of, like, the setups for TVs to watch the game, and it's honestly insane the amount of wires that's going on, and it just the overall just trying to get it on TV, just the whole process to me is just insane.
Well, it's easy now, because I think that now if you have a television, if you just bring your TV, throw it in, and we've seen some elaborate setups.
Crazy.
At Michigan State, right? I've seen guys with RVs that open up in the back, and it looks like something from, like, Exhibits Pimp My Ride back on MTV back in the day, where, like, the whole back is, like, custom made. It's got speakers coming out the doors, and there's the television, and whoa, I'm like, wow.
No, it's like, yo, dog, I heard you like tailgating, so we set up the whole thing in the back. That's what's going on. In the back.
But if you're balling on a budget, like most blue-collar Americans are, you're not having a setup like that. So, it's real simple nowadays, I think, Alec, to just, and there's Wi-Fi that you can use here on campus and respective college campuses. Have your TV there. In 2019, I'm pretty sure that whatever cable company you use, I use a streaming service actually for me, that I can stream it on my phone, and then you can just kind of like, there are options where you can, like, share your screen to your television now, you know, and just do it that way.
See, what I've done, like, with any kind of sports is I go on reddit.com, and you can stream any sport that you can think of, whether it's NFL football, NHL, NBA, you can stream anything you want for free because there's threads and everything.
Oh, look at that. Alex taking you down the
I got
the
you
dark
guys covered.
Hole.
I got you guys covered. If you want, like, it's definitely not legal, you know, because
that's what I'm saying. That's the dark hole. That's what I mean.
But it is Reddit. Reddit.com, and, you know, you just click a link. You know, there might be an ad block. There might be an ad or two that you just have to, you know, get your way past. But, you know, once you're clear of those ads, you're watching the game. You're watching the game a lot. It's crazy to me.
Okay.
Anything.
So on behalf of Current Sports, we don't endorse that. But
of course not.
Because the legal way. We're talking about the-
We also don't encourage jaywalking, but I mean, do you see people jaywalking all over campus? Come on.
Keeping it 100. I get it.
Exactly.
I totally get it. But if you have a streaming service, you can use that as well. So those are my three musts. I gotta have, you know, a good soda as well as a football to throw around, or some kind of game, whether it be dominoes or some cards, you know, some kind of game, and then the game itself. All right, those are my three must-haves. Other people may go the food route. I get it. You know, you got to have. I like having some. Probably fourth on my list, if I could give a fourth, I would say some wings. Got to have some wings. I love wings. Don't judge me, Alec. What are your three must-haves at the tailgate?
Hey, there's nothing to judge about wings.
I know.
Well, who doesn't like wings?
I'm on this health kick. You know what I mean? So people are like, oh, Al, you're eating. You know, I'm so into it now that anytime I do indulge, like, oh, you know, when I was in Puerto Rico with my frat brothers, they're like, Al, what are you going to eat, Al? Because I know you're on this fitness kick. I'm like, look, man, I'm in Puerto Rico. I'm going to enjoy myself for these
exactly.
Few days.
So, treat yourself.
Treat yourself. All right, what are your three must-haves, Alec?
All right, so my three must-haves would definitely be food. Like you said.
Like what kind specifically?
Yeah, just like a burger, some wings, you know, like the typical American, you know, tailgating food. That I'm totally fine with that. I'm not picky about it. But a couple other things would definitely be, you know, like some cornhole or like, you know, any type of game, you know, interactive game, whether it's, you know, throwing the pigskin, like you said, or any other kind of game like that. But my third thing would definitely be a TV, you know, like if I had the money to get, you know, like that all crazy setup, you know. But
so you're with me then. You got to have a TV.
You got to have a TV.
It's good food and good laughs, good fun.
Exactly.
And it can't be. You can't control the weather. We're not the man upstairs. But ideally, I would like to be. I like the fall. Like I can deal with throwing on a hoodie. I mean, I love fall. It's up there with summer with me now. Like I love fall weather. But when it starts, like, getting into winter and talking about snow, it's like, all right, I can't. I'm not tailgating. No, skip that, man. When you're, like, really bummed off. I've done a few tailgates like that, and it's just brutal. So I'm with you. I'm going to ask our listeners now. I mean, what are your three must-haves? Your three must-haves at a tailgate. You can call us up, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I see a few people commenting on our Facebook page right now at Facebook.com/WKAR News. Aaron comments and says food, TV, beer. Simple. Yeah, that's like I feel like we're gonna get kind of the same responses out there. Yeah, food, TV, beer. I guess get, you know, what kind of food can't you live without it at a tailgate? Yeah, awesome stuff though. I mean, we're gonna see a lot of tailgaters out there tomorrow, and campus is gonna be crazy.
I can't wait.
I mean, it's going to be insane, man. I think, you know, for those night games, I think people are going, because it's still a work day as well. I don't know how many people will be taking off work to get to campus early to tailgate, or will after you get off at like 5 o'clock when you just book it, you know, as soon as you can to campus. I want to know what people's plans are for that day. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What I want to do right now, I want to hit our first break. And when we come back, I do want to touch upon an interesting revelation that has been published by the LA Times concerning participation in high school sports. Kind of fitting because tonight is the opening night for a lot of schools out there when it comes to high school football. All right, so we're gonna touch on that, and I'm also gonna give you a few things I'm gonna look for with MSU and Tulsa. Before we do, we've got Stephanie on line one, who I believe wants to talk about, you know, the top three must-haves
at a tailgate. Stephanie, you are on Current Sports. Good day to you.
Hey, I wanted to say probably food.
Yep. What kind of food, though, Stephanie? What kind of food is a must for you at a tailgate?
I brunch foods if it's an early game.
Okay.
And so I have like eggs and cheese and a little casserole if it's an early game.
Okay. I like that.
And if it's later in the day, then like veggie burgers because I don't eat meat.
Preach on. I'm a big, you know what, Stephanie? Veggie burgers. They have veggie burgers out there now. I don't know if you know this, Alec. They kind of taste like real meat now.
Have you heard about what KFC is doing in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, KFC's going. They're going to like offer like a vegetarian option with chicken.
They've got black beans, and they've got corn, and they've got all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I like that, Stephanie. Okay, what else?
And then for drinks, mm-hmm. I like to see a bar.
Okay,
I don't know if that's legal, but I mean to say that. Like,
on campus, you can say
other
that.
Other people, when there's open alcohol allowed in places, I like to see what everybody has, and so I'm not a big drinker per se. Now I changed some things,
right?
So, but I like to get a little chill, a little relax. I enjoy myself. I'm not sure about the TV thing. That's not that important to me because I'm most likely going to the game.
Right. So what's number three?
Design.
What's number three then for you, if not a TV?
Oh, no. Number three was the bar or and drinks. Some people I have seen, blenders I have seen, they're doing little mini Coronas and margaritas. Because we walk around the stadium and by default, we end up getting tickets from people or winning them or whatever. But definitely, drinks, going backwards, drinks, good food. What did I say?
Good anyway, food. Good food. Drinks, good food. And what's number three?
And for us, I get specific. If it's early game, I want some breakfast before, and then we go to lunch.
So more food.
And then, well, yeah, if you're going to stay outside the stadium, I guess you go from early morning food. And if you're going to open with the tailgate right as they open, you're going to be there at 9 o'clock for some of the games. So you're going to go from breakfast to lunch, or you're going to do brunch, which means you're going to put everything out.
Okay.
I've seen it.
All right.
Oh, man, who have I seen it?
All right. Well, Steph, are you going? I assume you're going to be doing some tailgating tomorrow, right? You going to the game?
Actually, I'm taking the family up north.
Oh, okay. So no game tomorrow.
We have big family. No tailgating tomorrow. Not till probably midseason.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for the call, Stephanie. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
That was a pretty good list, Alec. I like that. A lot of food.
Yeah, keeping it simple,
Food is, 70 said basically food, and you got to have some good drinks. And I believe, you can have, everybody drinks on campus. It's open alcohol. That's you can have that open alcohol here on campus.
Yep.
So no problem with that. Awesome stuff. All right. If you want to call in just like Stephanie did, what are your three must-haves at a tailgate? Call in 517-355-WKAR. Let's hit our first break when we come back. Again, I'll address this LA Times article discussing participation in high school sports being down for the first time in 30 years here in our nation. And also, I'll give you some things to look for when it comes to Michigan State and Tulsa. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports here on this Michigan State opening season eve. It is Thursday, August 29th. Of course, Michigan State and Tulsa kick off tomorrow night, 7 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. MSU opening up a new year. And you know what? We just spent segment one talking about, you know, the atmosphere on campus here at Michigan State before each and every MSU home game. There's nothing like it. It's great stuff. It's exciting. And a lot of tailgates take place leading up to the game. There will be a lot of tailgating tomorrow. And I asked, you know, what are your top three must-haves at a tailgate? And I gave you my top four. Got to have a good beverage. You know, you got to have a game. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be like a football to toss around. I like tossing around the pigskin on a tailgate day. But, you know, it could be dominoes. It could be, you know, cards, some kind of card game. You know, cornhole. I see a lot of that taking place on tailgate Saturdays. And, you know, we had Stephanie call in and share her thoughts. Aaron says wings, TV, beer. TJ says a good selection of food, music. That's a good one, too. And cold beer. Music is in my top five.
Easily.
Music,
that's up there. That might be top three.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I may have to take out.
Yeah, music might have just one hopped it, just like Notre Dame.
It did. Thank you, Alex, for that. Well, TJ, for that. I'm taking out. If I can make a substitution, I'm taking out tossing around the pigskin in the game for music. You got to have good music at a tailgate. Got to have good music. I agree, TJ. Then you have Alex that says Miller Lights. I like that. Hey, that's Miller Lights. That's his thing. So there you have that. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What are your three must-haves at a tailgate? Want to just touch upon this because I also have a question as to why this is. The LA Times published a piece on Monday entitled Participation in High School Sports Declines Nationally for the First Time in 30 Years. And this is an annual participation survey done by the National Federation of State High School Associations. And it has shown a decline in sports participation for the first time, folks, in 30 years when it comes to last season, so the 2018-19 season. Now, leading the decline was another drop in football participation. Kids aren't playing high school football the way they used to. And I think there are numerous factors for that, which I'll get to in just a moment. But again, leading to this decline, another drop in football participation, with 11-man football dropping by 30,829 to, 1,006,000. Which is the lowest mark since the 1999-2000 school year. It's the fifth straight year of declining football participation. For five straight years, we have seen drops in numbers when it comes to kids playing high school football. Now, overall sports participation was 7,937,491, a decline of 43,000 from 2017 to 2018. I mean, no, those are alarming numbers, especially when it comes to football, five straight years. And I think we all know why. You know, maybe there are some other reasons that play a factor as well. It's a combination of this. This is how I'm looking at it. I think the parents are getting spooked right now. I think deservedly so. I've made the statement numerous times here on Current Sports that if I am blessed to have an Al Martin the third, yes, I am a second, I'm a junior. If I am blessed to have Lil Allen Martin the third and he wants to play football, I'm not letting him play until probably high school. And even then, I'm going to be a bit nervous. If he really wants to, cool. High school, you're knocking on the door of going to college, cool. Go ahead. But I will not be happy about it. Because of everything that we're knowing, the more and more that we know about the effect that the game of football has on the brain, especially when you talk about a developing brain, the brain of a child. I mean, why? That's a tough decision as a parent, right? It really is. You know, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It's CTE. You're hearing it left and right. And then, you know, we had the debate here on Current Sports earlier on in the week talking about the amount of injuries that take place throughout a respective football player's career, i.e. Andrew Luck. And we're seeing across the board more and more football players hang up the cleats, hang up that jersey earlier in their careers because of two different reasons. Injuries. I'm sure that they thought about CTE. And the fun of it. The fun of it. We're listening to Rob Gronkowski talk about it, and I think that may have a link to CTE. You know, he just wasn't happy playing the game anymore. I don't know. I'm Rob Gronkowski. That's a small sample size when trying to gauge the fun level of every professional football player out there. But, you know, it sounds to me like maybe that's, CTE, one of the symptoms is, you know, you're depressed and your mood is crazy. I don't know. Maybe Gronk is going through some kind of effects of that. But if you are a parent and you're reading all of this stuff about the effects that you football can have on your little one, I think more parents are out there saying, no, you're not playing football, little Johnny. You're not playing football anymore. That's it. We'll put you. You can go play basketball. You know, go play. You know, some baseball. But when it comes to football, not happening. Not happening. So the California, the piece goes on to read, the California Interscholastic Federation gave a preview of Monday's survey earlier this month when its survey showed that football participation in California had declined for the fourth straight year. More than 12,000 students no longer play football. This is Ron Nocetti in his first year as executive director of the CIF. He said, quote, when we look at our football numbers, we want to break that trend and see them go back up. I would be more concerned if our overall participation levels were going down by the same amount. Our student athletes aren't leaving sports. They're choosing other sports. Now, when it comes to that statement, again, from Ron Nocetti, looking at, you know, the overall numbers in participation nationally, combined basketball participation was down 23,000, almost 24,000, 23,944 to be exact. The girls' basketball total of 39,000 is the lowest since 1992-93. And much of the drop is attributed to a decline of 25K in Texas. That statement, you know, from Nocetti isn't really accurate. I'm sure maybe a few are going to other sports, but participation is down across the board, not just in high school football here, but in other sports as well. Which leads me to think that when it comes to that point, I think the kids are on these dang smartphones all the time, are so in the Snapchat and Instagram that they could care less about sports today, which is very sad. I mean, I can't remember the last time I drove around this area and saw like a pickup basketball game going on. Or even more crazy, this would like be seeing a lunar eclipse. A group of young men and women at the local park playing organized baseball. That's dead and gone now. I mean, you look at some. When I go back to Detroit, I'm born and raised on the west side of Detroit. When I drive around the west side of Detroit, I look at just empty parks. Empty parks. And then I look over at the baseball field, and it's just the grass is as tall as me. It's insane, man. You know, kids aren't playing anymore. They're not getting out the house anymore, which is a big problem. They're stuck on their phones, or they're inside playing video games. You know, they could care less about sports now, which is really, really sad. So we're seeing these declining numbers. Am I not touching on something here? Those are the reasons I believe, and I have a little sister. She just started high school. My little sister, and this is a trend, because I also talked to another homie of mine's who has a sister around the same age as my little sister, Loriana. And you know what they do? She would go to school, come back from school. This is before we said, because I had a long talk with her. I'm like, look, you need to go and do something after school. So we got her involved in dance class now, which she absolutely loves. She's been doing dance now for going on 2 years straight. It's great. But before that, she would go to school, come back home, and guess what? She'd go to her room, close the door, and she's just on that smartphone, texting her friends, Snapchat, Instagram, all night long.
It's almost like a pitching rotation of social media that, like, people just cycle through, you know?
It's so detrimental, Alec. Something needs to be done. So that's what I think is going on here. And how do you change this? That's the money question. I think it first falls on the parents. Take that phone away, you know, and designate some hours for your child to get out and go do something, go do some kind of extracurricular activity, you know, and just enroll them in it. They may not want to do it, but who knows, man? They may fall in love with it. Just have them try different things, because I believe, you know, and that's why I'm glad that smartphones now started tracking how many hours you look at me. How many hours do you look at your phone? Because it'll give you an alert, and you can, like, set alerts now where, okay, if you reach a certain amount of hours, that's it. You're done. Certain functions can be shut down. So that's what I think it is. Again, I'm no parent. I'm just speaking from, you know, my thoughts here and what I experienced with my little sister and my little cousins. All right? Am I accurate here, or is there something else going on? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break. When I come back, I'm going to give you some things to look for when it comes to Michigan State and Tulsa tomorrow night. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Yes, it's right around the corner now. I want to just highlight a few things that I would like to see from Michigan State football tomorrow. Number one, I want to see Brian Lewerke absolutely tear it up behind center early. This would do great wonders for his confidence coming out the gates and coming off of what happened last season. I want to see him roll early and roll often. Throw up a lot of points. Okay? That's pretty obvious. I think we all want that. Okay? The confidence comeback tour. That's what I want to see from Brian Lewerke. That's numero uno. And you know what? Let me take a pause. Can I take a pause real quick here? Because I do want to go to our phone lines. You know, I ended segment B by giving you thoughts on the participation numbers across the board when it comes to high school sports are down for the first time here in America, for the first time in 30 years. Let me go to line one. Rod from Lansing wants to weigh in. Rod, thank you so much for your call. The mic is yours, brother.
Yeah, hey, appreciate it. I was listening to that, doing some work here at home. I'm outside doing stuff, man. That's kind of fun.
nice.
I travel around the state doing kids programs, and you're absolutely right. I've seen, as a matter of fact, I was in the west side of Detroit. You had mentioned that's where you're from.
Yeah.
I didn't see anybody at the parks. And like, wow, that's kind of strange, right?
And then I was thinking about it, and you just brought that up. I haven't seen a pickup baseball game either or anything like that. And what I have seen from traveling around as much as I do, you're absolutely right. Smartphones are a great tool, but they're just like anything else. And in our day and age, it was probably television. You know, hey, get out, go outside and do something. Well, I'm bored. You know, well, go find something to do, right? But right. You're right. It goes falls back on the parents and monitoring how much time they're spending on there, because even in the programs I do, kids are bringing smartphones into my program, and I, you know, I have to tell them, we're putting those away. And right. And they do, and that's good. But every now and then, you'll catch them, you know, looking, checking their Snapchat or Instagram or something. And another reason for it is because there's so much hype out there with smartphones and all of the video communication stuff. I think every kid is looking for that 15 seconds of fame or more, and so you know they got to be tuned into it. They want they see their online heroes making money fist over fist, you know, and they think, wow, that could be me someday. Well, yeah, but there's a background story to it. These people actually worked before that was put up, right?
Right. That's so true. So Rod, you're seeing it in the programs that you run, and you know, like you said, you tell them to take, you know, put it away here. You know, let's let's get away from that thing, while especially while you're involved in my program. But as soon as it's done, it's back to the same old, right?
Well, it's a habit. That's all it is. And
right.
What you know, going back to what you were saying about parents taking control of that, they have to learn to help their kids to develop new habits. And hey, if you're a parent, it's a responsibility. And I can speak from that platform because I've been a parent. I'm a grandparent. And when we have our grandkids over, they know, no, we're not going to be spending time on the phones and everything. We're going to go outside and do stuff, you know?
Exactly.
And they know that. And
right.
You just have to help them develop habits. And you know, if you're just going to take parenting like, well, I just want you out of my hair to go do something, maybe you ought to rethink it. Let's do it together, right?
So true. Rod, great points. And thank you so much for listening and the call, my man. Appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. And go green.
Go white. Gotta love that. All right, Alec, you had some points that you wanted to make after listening to my rant during segment B. Your thoughts, my man?
Yeah, so I got some facts that everyone should know before thinking the sky is falling with high school sports. So enrollment in high school sports in 2018 was down 43,375 participants year over year. That doesn't necessarily mean those students have stopped playing sports entirely or even stopped playing high school sports. Consider that in 1988, only 1.84 million students participated in high school sports. That number has since increased by more than 300%. Now, if a two-sport athlete gave up one of his or her sports, that counts as one fewer participant. If an athlete left his or her high school team but kept playing for a club team, a recreational team, or, say, travel team, that also counts as one fewer participant. Now, if an athlete left his or her high school team but kept playing for a club team, that also is another one. And 70% of those 43,375 fewer participants came from high school football. Now, NFL players like Troy Aikman, Adrian Peterson, Terry Bradshaw, Terry Bradshaw told Jay Leno in 2012, it quote, "If I had a son today and I would say this to all our audience and our viewers out there, I would not let him play football." Kurt Warner, who said in 2012 that the thought of his sons playing football scares me and that he'd prefer they not play. Brett Favre, who said, quote, "I would be real leery of him playing football. And in some respects, I'm almost glad I don't have a son because of the pressures he would face. Also, the physical toll that it could possibly take on him, not to mention if he never made it. He's going to be a failure in everyone's eyes, but more than the physical toll it could take." More and more players are becoming weary about the dangers of the sport and are either opting out early, like Andrew Luck and Megatron and so many other players that are more coming out now, or they're now becoming activists for methods of healing from the brutality of football, just like Gronkowski with CBD.
I agree, man. And this is the thing. if you have guys who love the game and played the game, I mean, we're talking about like warriors, legends of football. You know, Brett Favre and Kurt Warner making statements like that.
Exactly. It should be eye-opening for any football fan.
But it's the thing, though. This is the thing. Because, I go back to my community and I have these conversations about football. For a young man who is so talented at the game, who comes from a very bad background, they look at football as that shot, that opportunity to become an instant millionaire, to change his life, the life of his family and friends around him, and for his children and grandchildren that come after him. That's generational, exactly, life-changing money. So they look at it and say, all right, I understand the risk, but the reward is far greater than the risk, which is my health in the long run. So,
and you know those players, when they make those decisions, yeah, how many times that thought has gone through their head? Like, oh, should this really be my last year? Should I wait it out a little more, make a little bit more money and retire? Really, there's no way you can predict it, because all it takes is one hit.
That's all it takes.
All it takes.
And if you have multiple concussions, oh my goodness. I mean, we're starting to see research on that and what that could mean for your long-term mental health. So, all right. I wanted to get to Michigan State football, but tomorrow's going to be an all MSU football show. All right, an all college football show. As we'll look at, Michigan State and Tulsa, of course, and get you prepped for that game. We'll look at Michigan as well and Middle Tennessee State and across the board in the Big Ten and nationally. Enjoy the start. Well, not like the, I guess this is technically the start, first big week for college football. But college football is on tonight. Enjoy it. We'll talk all of college football tomorrow, folks. Take care and be easy, people.